Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text has already been read. The question, it seems to me, that drives the text, arguably drives a good bit of the Old Testament as well, and drives probably the New Testament and on down through the history of people, question that we deal with in our own faith and our life and ministry and mission: who is the God whom we serve and worship? It's the question that Elijah puts on Mount Horeb, right, with an altar call, thank you. It's the question that Jeremiah directs to the exiles over there in Babylon, or to the refugees who bundled him off and took him down to Egypt. Who is this God whom we worship and serve? It's the question the disciples put in so many words, with their mouth hanging wide open as they see their Lord stand up in that little boat there and rebuke the wind and the waves, and they back off. Who is this? Right? The question that alternately haunted and energized Martin Luther in his life and ministry. And given the multiplicity of designer gods out there in our world, it's a question that our world is looking for a clear answer for as well. Who is this God whom we serve and worship? What gives the question special meaning, or really gives it the answer, for our text today, is that it comes immediately after the incident of the golden calf, which I suppose was one way of giving an alternate answer to the question. It certainly is the question that Moses is looking for a clear answer for. Who is this God? As he has to go back down and teach his people and deal with them. So the Lord begins with Moses. Yahweh descended, the text says, in the cloud and stood with Moses and proclaimed the name, the sacred name, the revealed name, the given name, Yahweh. Yahweh. It's a name that doesn't even need a verb. Yahweh, he who is, he who brings into being that which is, he in whom all that is lives. Yahweh kind of says it all. It's just that the Lord doesn't stop with just that, though. The text goes on. Yahweh passed before Moses and proclaimed the name again. And this time, like an echo, Yahweh, Yahweh, two times. You figure maybe a systematician could pick this up and make it like God is God or something. It's just that here, it's really not a sentence. It's kind of like the name Yahweh sort of rolls off the tongue of Yahweh as he speaks it. A name that Yahweh allows to tickle the ears of Moses as he hears it. A name worth reveling in, basking in for its own value. Kind of like when God created the world, right? And he stepped back every now and again and said, what is this good? Is it really good? That same kind of thing for his name. Yahweh ben the glory in the majesty of that sacred name and in the gifting of that name to Moses and through him to the people. But he's still not done. Yahweh sort of picks up that name in a way that a person might pick up a diamond or a gem and kind of hold it up to the light in order to see all of the sparkles that are refracted through that and Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful. Mercy comes from the Hebrew word for womb, right? Which is to say, there is, you can add up all of the qualities and special features about all the genders among us, and they still don't make what God is. Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, in faithfulness, a God keeping steadfast love to generations by the thousands. Yahweh, who forgives iniquity and rebelliousness and sin. That's seven of them. Seven, what do you figure? One for each day of the week? I mean, no day without, right? Seven, sacred number for a sacred name. Yahweh. Yahweh, each sparkle, each radiance more glorious than the one before. Yahweh, and it's God's own self-identification. It's God's way of answering the question, who is this God whom we worship? He sees a couple more on a flip side of what we've been saying. Yeah, and he also doesn't whitewash the one who prefers iniquitousness. In fact, he visits their sins upon them. Yahweh, Yahweh, what a magnificent name. A name that only Yahweh himself can properly exegete. And when he's finished, it's not like there's a nice ring to the name, you know. It's not just that. It's not like there's a nice cadence that carries all of these descriptors along. It's like the pealing of a bell. Boom! And the reverberations move out, but they fold back in on themselves and pick up another. Boom! And it keeps folding in. Boom! Until finally it rattles every bone in a person's being. No wonder this name with the divine exegesis became one of the fundamental creeds of the Old Testament, echoed through the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms, kind of like the lingering pealing of that bell or the never-ending sparkle of that diamond. It illuminates all of Scripture. It illuminates you and me. And he's still not done. There is more in that diamond. There is more in that name to be seen yet. He adds to Moses, before all your people, I will perform marvels such as have never been performed in all the earth, in any nation. All the people among whom you live shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. The Lord picks up that diamond one more time, and he sees in that name, he sees where the Lord is going with this world. He sees the Lord's, sees the future through the Lord, the prism of the Lord's name. Marvels more glorious than anything you have seen, Moses, bigger than the Exodus. You know, what do you figure? Wilderness, 40 years? Sure. Entry into the promised land, you betcha. Return from the exile, yeah. We didn't even scratch the surface. He's talking about marvels never before performed. That word perform, you look at the Hebrew, it's the word bara. We're talking creativity taken to a divine level. Wonders never performed like in the fullness of time. God sends his son to bring the kind of healing that the Gospels refracted for us, healing of body, healing of soul. Yeah, and also a crucifixion and resurrection. And bread that bears the body, and wine that can bear the blood, and both of them that bear us. And you know what else is there? You. You. Chosen in His Son before the creation of the world. Chosen in His grace. Chosen to bear His grace. So that repentance unto forgiveness can be proclaimed in His name to all nations. All nations, they're all there. All nations, all tribes, all tongues, all people. That takes us back to the throne of God Himself. Yahweh, Yahweh, what a splendiferous name. That's the God whom we serve and whom we worship. In the name of His Son. Amen.